Welcome to the show, Smashville Live here at Tin Roof from Broadway downtown, presented by Decorating Den, Red Spirits and Wine. I'll get to the introductions here very quickly because my name's Braden Gall, and that's largely irrelevant. This is Hal Gill, and that is Roman Josi, your captain of the Nashville Predators. Roman, thank you for joining us, man. We do appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So let's get right to it. We're going to spend a second segment here. You guys know the drill here at Smashville Live. The second segment, we'll get to know Roman a little bit, where he grew up, and maybe perhaps what he's going through off the ice right now with the planning that you're doing. And the third segment, you guys out there will have lots of opportunity to talk to him and ask some questions. So we'll do that. And then we'll look ahead at the last two dozen games or so of the regular season. But let's get started. You're right off a road swing or back-to-back home and home there. And tough thought battle last night against Detroit. How was the ride home?
It was good. Everybody's happy. It's always more fun when you win games. And back-to-backs are never easy with the travel and stuff. We got in pretty late in Detroit, but I thought the guys played really hard, and it was a tight game, but we pulled it off.
You guys, looking at the way the season's gone, you haven't lost too many games in a row, and then you lose two games in a row, and I know Smashville's like super intense right now. Everyone's panicking. It's two games in a row. As the captain of the team, as a leader in the team, what are you guys talking about in the room? What are you saying to the guys? Because I know it's not a big deal. You know it's not a big deal, but there's a little bit of nervousness in it, right? You want to get back and get a win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we've been playing really well for most of the season, and you win a lot of games, and then you lose one, and it's not fun. Like, everybody's mad. And I think it's just in general, like the way we play. Even sometimes when we win games, we're a pretty honest group. And even if you didn't play well, there were some games where Pekka and Hughes played unbelievable and won the game for us. I think the next day we always look at our game and we always talk about things we can do better, but obviously there wasn't any panic by losing two in a row, but we knew we had to play better. And I think the main thing you can do is just to stay positive and be confident. And we know we have a good team. And there's so many good teams in the league. You're not going to win every game.
You guys last night, as nice a passing first period as I think I've ever seen from this club all season. You guys seemed like everything was working, and then it sort of slowed down. And UC picked you guys up last night.
Yeah, I did. We started pretty well. We had a really good first period, and I think in the second they were a better team, and Hughes had to make a lot of great saves. And we weren't happy with our second period, but I thought we played pretty well in third. Obviously got a huge goal by Arvi, and then Hughes made another great saves, and that's what they done all year. Pekka and Hughes, every time, doesn't matter who plays, they always play extremely well.
How much truth is there to the conversation about playing all those overtime games? You guys are on the road for four straight, then you come back and you play some good teams. How much truth is there to February? Hal, you call it retirement month, right?
Yeah.
In February, it's the dog days. It's tough to kind of every single morning get yourself going. Is there any truth to that, wearing a team out and then having to mentally overcome that every single morning?
Sometimes. I think January, February is kind of that time where it's not the beginning of the season anymore and you're still far away from playoffs. But I think, like I said before, when you win games and you play well, it's always a lot more fun. I think those days are a lot harder when you don't play well and you don't win a lot of games.
I find watching, and it's funny because going back to when I was playing with you, you're just coming in the league. Now I see you out there. That game last night, that first period, that was your period. You were all over the place. You're attacking, up in the rush, making the big play, scoring, being part of every goal that happened. Do you feel the pressure to come out and get that big start for the team, or is that just you doing you?
I just try to play my game, but I think every time you feel like your team is not playing up to the standards, you as a leader, I think, and that's our whole leadership group. I think it starts with the leaders, and you want to make that statement and come out hard in the first period, and then have the younger guys follow you like you did when I was younger, right? I always followed you, so that's what you want from your leaders. You want them to step up, and other than that, I think I'm just trying to play my game.
Well, I want to talk about it. I just talked to Ryan Johansson 2 days ago, I guess, and he was saying, he puts it on his shoulder. He's got to have a big game. He wants to have that line be better. He wants to make the power play better. You guys have a lot of guys in that locker room. I think that's good down the stretch in the playoffs. Are you comfortable with the leadership? I mean, it's got to feel good to have that group around you, especially you're going to add Fish to that group.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got a great leadership group, and I think one of our strengths this year is it's always a different guy stepping up. There was a couple leaders injured throughout the year too, and there's always a guy stepping up, and it's that depth we have, and I mean, it's huge, especially in the playoffs. I think you saw it last year when we had a bunch of different guys stepping up, and yeah, our leadership was great, and adding Mike to the team is going to give us a huge boost.
Out of that leadership group, certainly Ryan Ellis coming back, and his game has gone to another level in the last couple of weeks as well. Who is the vocal one? Who's the one that's yelling? Who's the one that's yelling and screaming at each other and getting everybody going? Who's the vocal guy?
Did he really ask that?
Out of the leadership group. It's a layup.
Easy one.
Well, Lavi's screaming. Ryan Ellis is pretty vocal. We have other guys that are vocal. Scott Hartnell is a pretty vocal guy in the locker room. And, a lot of guys step up in certain situations, say something, but I would say maybe Ellis is probably the most vocal guy.
And PK is always quiet?
PK is always quiet, yeah.
What did you guys do to him? I don't remember him being like that when I played with him.
He's pretty quiet during the games.
Yeah. Until he's trash-talking someone else. Yeah.
Roman Yossi, Hal Gilher, Braden Gall on Smashville Live. This is, of course, from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits, and Wine. You said you learned something from Hal when you first came up and got started. What did you learn from Hal Gill?
A lot of things.
Oh, jeez. Nothing good.
No. it was my first year, and Hal got traded to us. It was like February, probably.
Yeah, and something like that.
Yeah, we played together, and we played together in the whole season after that, and played together in playoffs. And I mean, he had such a great career, and he was such a huge addition to our team. And I mean, he was a real funny guy in the locker room too, and he was definitely one of those leaders who always calmed the younger guys down. As a young guy, for me, it was huge to have a guy like him to lean on. There's a lot of pressure in playoffs and your first year, and he was always really calm and just helping me out.
The cool part was, for me, as an older guy coming into a team, I was surrounded with these young guys like Yost that were, you know, just learning the game. And, obviously getting traded, I left my family behind, and so I was coming in here, living in the hotel, and we spent a lot of time going out to dinner, and it was a cool experience to be around someone so talented, and they don't see that they have the whole world is going to be awesome, and now he's like this model, everyone wants to see him, and he's up and down the ice doing whatever he wants to do, but I was there when, you know, he was just young and learning all that stuff. It was a lot of fun for me, and we had a good time when I was here.
Yeah.
Roman, please forgive me. I have to ask this of Hal, because I was told to do this morning on the show. We had a poll question today on the morning show, of course, the morning drive. You can listen to it on 102.5 The Game, of course. Would you rather, and I was supposed to ask Hal this, but I'm supposed to do it in front of you. So the question is, would you rather look like Roman Yossi or play like Roman Yossi? That is the question, Hal.
I used to make fun of him. He used to look like Butthead. Now everyone talks about his hair and how great his hair is. And he wore a hat. I'm sorry, people. Everyone that showed up at the Tin Roof that wanted to see his hair gets to see his hat. You know what? Watching the way he's played, of course everyone wants to look like Yost, but...
You're a model, by the way. You are a model.
Yes. You've seen the commercials?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very talented.
Yeah. I'd love to play. The way he gets up, it looks like it's fun. Is it fun playing hockey for you? Like, for me, it was just like, get it out. Oh, my God. I had the puck. Get it out. Get out. Get it out. And for Yost, it's just skate the puck, go join the rush, pull up, score a goal. It seems like it's fun.
Yeah, it is
You're
fun.
You're having fun playing hockey right
I'm
now.
I'm having fun, yeah.
A good team.
We have a good team.
Things are good right now.
Great city, so we're having a lot of fun for sure.
Well, let's.
What was the result? What was the poll result?
I definitely went with the career for sure. I definitely went with the bank account and the playing skill and the talent and all that stuff. That won slightly. It's like 55% play like Yossi versus 45% look like Yossi. So I'm sure that's really meaningful stuff for your life there.
It is.
Chicks dig him. Guys want to be like him.
Hey, listen, that's what we talk about on 102.5 again, the important stuff. So when we come back, I want to get to – let's go back to sort of your first – I want to get into the debut. When you first got to the league and you had that moment where you're like, all right, this NHL thing's about to happen for me. I want to kind of go back and get your thoughts on how that whole thing went down. And we'll do that when we come back. Hal Gill, the captain, Roman Yossi. My name is Braden Gall. This is Smashville Live from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits, and Wine. Welcome back, Smashville Live, here at Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits, and Wine. Braden Gall, Hal Gill, and the captain, Roman Yossi. All right, I want to go back to your NHL debut. Just sort of take us through the moments that you heard and found out that you were going to play, sort of what that emotional experience was like, and then the first time you actually step on the ice and you're like, this whole thing is happening here. But to kind of take us through that emotions and what you're feeling through that.
Yeah, I got called. I was playing Milwaukee, obviously, and I got called in the coach's office, and they just told me I would go up and play in Detroit, my first game, and obviously it was a dream coming true. I mean, coming from Switzerland, I always dreamed about playing in the Swiss League because you always watch those guys, and then you get a little older, you start following the NHL, and I was really happy at the time, and then I flew to Nashville first, we went to Detroit, and I think the first time it really, really hit me was in warm-ups when I was out there and I saw Datsyuk and Söderberg on the other side. And it was a great feeling, and we didn't play that well in that game, lost 4-1, but it was definitely one of the best moments just to be out there and play that first game.
I have to ask, because I see young defensemen come through Nashville, and it's just... And, you know, it's a breeding ground for great defensemen. I feel like it was so patient with you. They took their time with you and let you develop your game. You played it on your own terms. Was that easier for you? I mean, I guess you don't know the other way, but after being in Montreal, I saw you in the media scrum with people everywhere asking you questions. How great is it to be in Nashville where they could just let you go through that? Because you spent some time and learned the game in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I thought it was great for me, especially coming over from Europe. I knew I had to learn some things over here. It's a little different with the game and stuff, but I didn't know it was that much. I mean, my first year in Milwaukee, there's so many little things you have to learn. And I mean, as a defenseman, just like stick work and stuff like that, the smaller ice, you have less time. And it was a great year for me personally, hockey-wise. And I mean, I met a lot of guys there too. I mean, it's such a fun league because everybody's young and everybody hangs out together. And I had a great time in Milwaukee, and I think it was great for my career. And I'm really glad they took their time.
Sort of tell everybody, paint the picture for the Nashville fans, sort of what growing up Switzerland is like as far as sports. Obviously, Roger Federer, a huge part of your childhood growing up. You love big tennis fan and everything. What is the hockey? You know, how is it that you fell into hockey all of a sudden?
Well, I played soccer and hockey. My dad actually played soccer, and my older brother started playing hockey. He's 2 years older, and I don't know why they brought him into hockey, because my dad and my mom didn't have anything to do with hockey, really, but I saw my brother practicing, and I told my parents I wanted to go too, and then I played soccer and hockey for a long time, and I actually wanted to play soccer for a long time. I always tell my mom I want to play soccer. Go for one thing. I want to play soccer, and then somehow I changed my mind, and glad I did.
How old do you have to, like, how old do you, when you make that decision?
I was like 10, I think, 10, 11.
It feels like a really big life decision for a 10-year-old.
It is pretty big, yeah. But it just didn't work out. I used to go to hockey practice and then go to soccer practice right after, and then I started missing games in soccer, and they weren't happy that I didn't come to games, and so made it pretty easy for me.
Who did you grow up watching in Switzerland? I feel like you guys are so big now. There's so many Swiss names around the world that are playing great hockey, but I don't remember that growing up. Who did you grow up idolizing?
There was always a lot of good goalies.
When
you played too, like Abisher and Gerber.
Yeah.
But we never really had a player that played regularly. We had a couple of guys coming over, played a couple of games. But Mark Streit was the first guy
who
actually made it as a player. And he was always a big idol for me. I think for everyone in Swiss hockey, especially the path he took. He came over when he was 19, went back, came over when he was 27. And it wasn't an easy path. And he fought his way through it. So he was always one of those guys I idolized.
And for those who don't know, the Swiss League is good. It's an excellent league. Tons of talent, tons of skill. So it's less grinding and less physical. But
yeah, it's a lot of skating.
A lot of skating, yeah. A lot of skill.
Is that obviously helped with the way the NHL has shifted just ever so slightly towards that style of game? Is that clearly helping develop the Swiss talent?
I think so, yeah. Like Hal said, it's a pretty fast league, and there's a lot of skating. There's obviously more space with the bigger rink, and it's not as physical as it is over here. And I really think Mark Streit kind of opened up those doors, and for a lot of young players like me and other guys, D'Angelo was always so far away, and he was the first guy who made it. So we were all okay, you can make it. Like, you just got to work hard, and you got to believe in it, and you can make it. And he really opened those doors for us.
Wait, I got to ask, what's the best thing about being Swiss? What's the best? I used to tell him this all the time.
I know, I can't remember.
You can't remember?
Something about the
flag. The flag's a big plus.
The flag is a big plus.
Oh, boo.
Boo.
Terrible joke.
That's awful.
That's a good joke.
I thought he said you were funny.
That's a good joke.
All right, I'm gonna bring up a really awesome, amazing, spectacular thing for you personally, Roman. But I'm not sure everybody in the audience is going to want to hear about this. Congratulations on getting engaged.
Thank you.
I know that breaks a lot of hearts here, but congratulations. So, first of all, I'm glad I'm already married. I'm glad. The way you did it, I think, put everybody back a long time. So take us through. You got the puppy, you got Christmas, you got the whole thing. Anyone who's not engaged, I'm sorry, because Roman beat everybody. But take us through that situation and the emotions of that day.
We got 2 weeks early, we got a puppy. And
it's a big commitment, Roman.
It is, yeah. Thanks, Hal. And she obviously lost the puppy. And so I figured it would be the best thing to kind of include him into that. And it didn't work out that well because he's still a puppy, so he didn't want anything to do with it. But yeah, it was pretty good.
So you're like chasing the puppy around.
I was holding him.
Okay.
I was holding him, and first I tried to wrap it around his head, the ring and stuff, but he wasn't having any of it, so I was just holding him.
Has Hal or anyone else on the team given you any advice about the planning process?
No, I haven't got any advice from Hal actually. Just criticism.
Learn the difference between not caring and not having an opinion. That would be my advice to you. It's very important that you care about everything and have no opinions about anything. That's my advice to you.
No, are you going to... You want me to say something about marriage now? You want me to help him through it?
I think the planning process, yeah. I think less criticism, apparently.
He was criticizing me.
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into that marriage stuff.
Okay.
You know, he's a hockey player. He should be focusing on hockey right now. And then in the offseason...
Can we wait two more seconds?
I also got to ask. Europeans have they might have a 10-year engagement. That might just be what they do. Is it one of those? It's just like, hey, now we're engaged and we'll wait and see what happens?
No, it won't be 10 years.
No?
No.
It seems like, though, with you know, you've got the house and you got the family coming and you got the captain and everything. It seems like Nashville roots, though, is clearly in the future. How has this city changed? How have you seen this city change and evolve as a hockey town since the first time you started playing and obviously blossoming last year with the cup run? How has it changed?
Honestly, I thought Nashville was always a big hockey city. And even when I came up here, the crowd was amazing. It was always loud at Bridgestone. And I think people just didn't realize that. And obviously with last year, what was going on, nobody was expecting that. It was unbelievable, and the first time that the whole the whole U.S. and the whole North America could see what's going on in Nashville. But I always thought it was a huge hockey city, and we always enjoy playing at Bridgestone. I think it's the loudest rink in the league.
Well, how about this? You want to answer a few questions from the crowd? Is that all right?
Sure.
We can do that. So we'll take a little break, Smashville Live. Let me hear you. When we come back, you guys get to ask the captain a few questions, so we'll do that when we come back. Roman Josi, Hal Gill, Braden Gall, Smashville Live from Tim Roof here on Broadway, Decorating Den, and Red Spirits and Wine are presenting this whole bad boy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tin Roof on Broadway. This is Smashville Live. Brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits and Wine. Hal Gill, Roman Josi, Braden Gall here. It's time for us to go to Chaz from Promotions in the crowd with questions. And Chaz, you know the drill. No talking, Chaz.
Thanks,
let them
Braden.
Ask the questions.
Thank you, Braden. This is Cindy in Clarksville. She's got a question for Roman.
Hi, Roman. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm excited this year because this is the healthiest the team has ever been, the closest to the playoffs. And I wonder if there's any strategy to try to stay healthy for the playoffs.
Well, get warmed up, yeah, for games and practice. But I think with injuries, sometimes you can't control those things, and injuries happen every year. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, knock on wood, hopefully we'll stay healthy and go into the playoffs with the whole lineup.
I think Coach Laviolette's pretty good about giving you guys time off. And
he is, actually, yeah. He's really good about giving us the rest we need. There's a lot of games, and that's a huge thing, getting a lot of rest, getting a lot of sleep. And
when you're good, you don't have to practice that much, right? So as long as you stay playing well, then you don't need to practice, right?
It's always easier for him to give a day off when we play well.
Well, and now we know who to blame, Smashville. If somebody gets hurt, it was clearly her fault. That's the problem, right? Chaz, what you got, man?
You know, this girl, she comes to every show. She's the sweetest thing. This is Brinley from Nolensville.
I wanted to know what it was like to be the captain of the Predators team.
It's awesome. It's a lot of fun, and obviously a huge, huge honor when I got named captain. Something I definitely never dreamed of. I always wanted to play in the NHL, but I never thought I could be the captain one day. And it's such a great team. And playing in this city and being the captain is awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Chaz, what else you got for me? If you got questions, put your hand up and Chaz will come to you guys.
Absolutely. This is Cheyenne. She's from Nashville. She claims that she cried the first time she met Roman. So she wanted to admit that, or maybe she didn't, but she's got a question.
So what's, like, your strategy as being the captain? Like, do you have anything new that you want to bring to the team to get us to the cup and bring it home?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good one. Tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. No, I mean, honestly, I personally learned a lot from my previous captains, from Shea and Fish last year. I mean, we were so close, and I think the main thing, one thing Fish always did, he was always positive. There was some up and downs throughout the year last year, and he was always the one guy that was positive and giving guys confidence. And I think there's a lot of things I learned from him, and trying to do the same things. And obviously we want to get back to that final and win it, but there's not that many new things. But I think the main thing is just to stay positive and be a good leader.
Chaz, what else you got for us, buddy?
Eric, he is from Hendersonville. If you didn't hear that, he's Eric from Hendersonville.
Yost, you got a lot of titles here, and so this year we've given you two more with captain, and the second is master negotiator. And so we've been told that you're the one that's credited with closing the deal to bring Fish back. So now that all that's out in the open, tell us what it took here. What'd you have to offer up to get the captain back?
Sushi. I just paid for some sushi. Fish came by the rink a couple times and had lunch like two or three times with him, and I think a bunch of the guys stayed in touch. And and then that one time I took him to lunch, or he took me to lunch in Franklin, and we just talked. I mean, I told him like the side of the players. He obviously knew the the management and the coaching, they wanted him back, but I just told him that us as players, we would really love to have him back in our room, and he's such a well-loved guy in the room, and you could see it when he came back. Every guy was smiling. Everybody was so excited to have him back, and I just wanted him to know that as players, we really want him back, too.
I'm surprised he didn't make you catch it first, too, by the way.
I know.
Chaz, what you got?
This is Miss Bonnie Jones. She's actually one of the sponsors of the show, Decorating Den Interiors, Miss Bonnie Jones.
And my question for you, Roman, is now that you've got a new wife coming on board, is she going to help you with your gingerbread house next year?
I hope so. Well, I was third in that pool, but I can't believe I was third. Kevin Fialas was awful.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah, we all agree that Kevin Fialas was the worst.
I think we can all agree that Weber's was beautiful.
That's kind of weird how good it was.
Oh, it was like... Yeah, it was like too good.
It was too good.
Yeah, I know. And he did it the first time, he said. But it was beautiful. It was like the nicest gingerbread house I've ever seen. But I was definitely not there. Kevin Fiala was terrible.
I think we can all agree that you got robbed, Roman. Yeah. I think this is true. Al Gill, Roman Yossi here, Braden Gall on Smashville Live at Tin Roof from Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. Chaz, you got any more for us? All right. If you got a question for Roman, put your hand up.
They're standing behind you, Chaz.
And Chaz will come to you. Chaz, keep your head on a swivel, man.
Head on a swivel.
Come on, buddy.
These guys are fast. These girls are fast, too. All right. What's your name?
Danielle.
Where are you from?
Nashville. Okay. So I'm going to botch this name, but what do you think of bringing Eli back from the KHL after the Olympics?
Yeah. I mean, he seems like a really good player. I haven't seen him live yet, but I watched some games in the Olympics, and he looks unbelievable. And people are talking really highly of him, and I heard he's an awesome player, and I think he would definitely be good for our team.
I know Roman Pekka has been very outspoken about this, as well as Philip Forsberg as well. Just how hard is it for you guys to is everybody tuned in and watching all the games? I mean, obviously I know you guys want to play, but you obviously have jobs to do. How hard has that process been, and how do you guys sit? Does everybody sit down and watching all these games, or how's that working?
Yeah, well, it's hard with the time difference, too, to watch the games. But we put it on in the locker room, and we'll watch sometimes. I actually didn't get to watch one of the Swiss games. I couldn't even watch one. I think they're all, like, at 5 in the morning. But I watched them a little later. But, it's not easy. And, it's a fun tournament. It's always fun to watch those games, and especially, like, when you have a guy like Eli playing that well, and you know he's going to come to Nashville soon, makes us all really excited.
Yeah, that's the best tournament in the world. I don't want to get into the NHL and whether they're allowed, but obviously you miss that.
Definitely, yeah. I got the chance to play in Sochi, and it was definitely an unbelievable experience. Just that Olympic spirit, being in the village and hanging out with other athletes, it was unbelievable.
Chaz, what you got for us?
This is Brett from Michigan, and he's got a really interesting question.
Sir, I just wanted to know if you had any tips for the Red Wings.
Well, they've been playing pretty well against us. I don't know. That was the first time we beat them in, like, a couple games, right, last night?
I don't think that's Slavy's first win, I think, against the Red Wings.
Yeah. I think they have a good team. They have a really young team. A lot of guys that play really fast, so I'm sure they'll be fine.
Chaz, what you got for us, man?
Actually, I have a story about this girl. This is Lauren from Atlanta.
What did I tell you about talking?
I know. But the gold carpet this year, she met Roman, I think, for the first time, and we have a photo of her on file of her freaking out. She was the Roman Yossi girl that went viral on our Twitter page. And so if you guys remember that. But she has a question for Roman, and hopefully she doesn't freak out this time.
I won't. Okay. So when you talk to a ref after, like, a penalty call, do you just argue with him, or, like, do you actually think it's going to get overturned?
It's never going to get overturned. It's pretty much just arguing. You're definitely arguing. And most of the time, you obviously, when the penalty's against you, you disagree with it. And But when does it ever get overturned? Never.
But you try to...
I mean, obviously, like, you want to be polite, and you want to, you just, I mean, the refs are pretty open to see your view on the whole thing, and sometimes it's good. Lavi wants to know sometimes what the ref is thinking, and why did he make that call, but yeah, it doesn't get overturned, really.
But if you're working a call and you know a certain team's doing things a certain way and you sort of go to the refs early in the game and you say, hey, man, watch out for this. You know, Phil Jackson famously did that for the Lakers all the time. He'd go and he'd complain about calls in game one and then he'd get them in game six. Does that apply to referees by game five or six of a series? Do you think you've got them sort of swayed to your point of view?
Sometimes there's definitely things teams do and you want to let them know, like, watch this, maybe like on the penalty kill, watch the interference when they interfere with us and just stuff like that. And, like I said, after penalty is called, you normally just get his opinion and you tell him your opinion. But that's a good point. Like, you try to look out for things that you know the other team does and make him aware of it.
Well, first of all, I have to add, I can't imagine you being anything but polite. You're always very nice and calm and speaking politely. But I think, and answer to the question is, these refs are human and they're going to make mistakes. And if you talk to them and explain how they're making a mistake, they might not change the call, but they're going to try and rectify. And that's the big thing with the game now. There's all these close calls, and you kind of have to ride it out because the refs realize, I might have missed that call, and they'll make it up on the back end. Now with the video review, I feel like it's like, okay, it's got to be clear cut, and it's not. It's not an easy game to call, right?
No, I mean, it's hard.
It's got to be frustrating for the players now because you're sitting there waiting and watching, and I don't know. I don't care how many times you look at the video. You still can't make the right call.
Yeah, I agree. It's a hard job for the refs, and things happen fast. Like with the video call, like you said, it's, I don't know, sometimes I look at it and I'm like, I don't know what I would call, like, to be honest. But even with the slashing, they try to call those a little more, and it's such a fine line, and everything happens so fast, so it's not easy for the refs.
There's obviously a million differences between regular season hockey and postseason hockey, but is the referees getting to know the teams better? Because that doesn't really happen as much during the regular season because you're just constantly moving from city to city. Does that happen a lot more when you're sitting there and you got, I don't know, Anaheim for a series? Do the referees get – is that part of the process as well?
But I think we switch refs, right?
Yeah, they'll roll them through just for that reason.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want someone to get familiar.
Yeah. But, yeah, Anaheim was definitely a hard series for us and the refs.
No question about it. Chaz, you got one more for us?
Absolutely. This is AC, and she is from Nashville.
Hey, Roman. So I know we're all excited that Fish is coming back, and he's going to bring a lot of enthusiasm to the locker room, but how do you think his style of play is going to help the Preds win a cup?
Fish is one of the hardest working guy on the ice. Every time he steps out there, he's still in great shape, although he didn't play for a while. And he's such a hard player to play against. I personally would hate to play against him. He works extremely hard. He goes to the net. He has a great shot, and he hits hard too. So he's such a valuable piece. And like I said before, every time he steps out there, he's the hardest working guy, and he's going to make us a lot better.
We'll find out just how quickly he can get up to speed, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and then maybe the last month and a half of the season coming up as well when we come back. We'll take a little break. Smashville Live, excellent job. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was excellent. Hal Gill, Roman Yossi, Braden Gall, we'll be right back here on Smashville Live from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Smashville Live from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits, and Wine. Hal Gill, Braden Gall here with, of course, the captain, Roman Yossi. And Roman, Mike Fisher will come back eventually in a couple of games here, maybe a week or two. We've seen Philip Forsberg miss some time this year. We've seen Ryan Ellis obviously miss a huge chunk of time at the beginning of the season. It seems like there's always a little bit of acclimation process once you get back on the ice. The legs burn a little bit for those first couple of games. How long should it take a guy like Fisher, who's in great shape and obviously been through this process a lot, how long does it take a normal player just to get kind of up to speed and go in full speed?
I don't think it's going to take him that long. Like I said, he's still in really good shape, and he's been practicing for like 2 weeks now, and I think the main thing is always, obviously you want to get your conditioning up, but you're practicing, and it's not the same thing as playing games. It's always a little different when you're in a game situation. But I mean, he's such a smart player, and I don't think it's going to take him long.
Well, you asked a question about a normal player, and I think Fish is a little bit different, to be honest with you. I remember playing in Boston against him in Ottawa all the time, and he hits harder than anyone in the NHL. Like, to this day, I've never been hit as hard as I've been hit by Fish. So I'll ask you, like, what does he bring to the team? I know we talked about it a little bit, but, like, how exciting is that you get something for nothing? You don't have to give up an asset or anything, and you got this guy with experience, who mixes in with the room. He's also versatile. You can go play any position, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Like, it's like making a big trade at the trade line, but you don't give anything up. And like you said, with him, it's the whole package. Like, he's coming back to the room. Guys love him in the room. Everybody's excited to have him back. He's going to bring a ton of leadership and a ton of experience, and then on the ice too. I think, like Hal said, a lot of people don't know this about Fish, but he's one of the toughest guys in the league. He hits extremely hard, and he goes to the net. He goes to those dirty areas, and it's a huge addition for us, and we didn't give anything up, and it's a really great situation for us to have him back.
Can I add on that? Like, where do you think the team is at right now? I mean, I know you're just coming off two games where you lost, and it's, you know, everyone in Smashville is wondering what's going on. You guys, I know, are comfortable, but where do you think your team is at? You comfortable with it?
Yeah, I'm definitely comfortable. I think there's still areas to improve, but we have 20 games left, or what, 24 games left, and you want to make sure you peak towards the end. But I'm really confident in our group. I think we have a great group of guys. First of all, we have a great team chemistry, and a lot of talent. And I think throughout the regular season, there's some games. Obviously, you want to always play at your best, but I think we've been pretty consistent all year. But I'm really comfortable and really excited going forward here.
I mean, peaking at the right time is sort of the most important thing here. So, A, sort of how do you go about doing that? And you guys went through this with this coaching staff and with your team 4 years ago when you had all those points and you sort of hit that mark and the kind of season just kind of slowed down for you. How do you focus on that with two dozen games to go? How does that work? How do you make sure you're peaking at the right time?
Well, I think we're, like, as a team, we're setting goals, and I think we're playing for a lot right now. I mean, fourth in the league right now. We're first in the Central right now, but Winnipeg's right behind us, and we're playing for a lot. You obviously want to climb up the standings. If you're close to first place in the league, you want to get that first place in the league, and there's a lot to play for every team. Some teams fight for a playoff spot, and other teams fight for other things, and there's a lot of pride in the rock room, and I think we're pretty honest and accountable group, and we know when we don't play our best, and the next game we want to make sure we do.
Certainly the power play, you guys had a little rough stretch there for a couple of games. You get back on track the last two games. What's been the secret there for the power play? Just maintaining the same principles?
Power play is such a thing. I think sometimes you're playing well on the power play, you're doing all the right things, but you're not getting the bounces, you're not getting the goals, and then the next game you're getting two goals and from two, like, simple shots. And I think every time you're struggling a bit with the power play, you just got to go back to those basics, shoot a lot of pucks, and just keep it simple. And it's such a huge part in the game today, obviously.
Even when you guys get a win, I know Laviolette comes in and nitpicks on things, like things that you can get better at. Is that something that happens all the time, where you just have another goal that you have to get, whether it's get your power play percentage to this point, get your PK percentage to this point? Is it constant, or is it, you know, I see it from Laviolette, just little tidbits that he gives us. Is it something that all the time?
He's a really honest guy. Like, I think even if we lose a game and he thought we played really well, he lets us know. He tells us we played well. If we win a game, we don't play well, he lets us know too, which is great. I think as a coach, that's the best thing to do. Like, you want to be honest with your guys, and like I said before, we're a pretty honest group too, and there's always, even if you play a great game, there's always things you can do better, and you always have to look for those things to get better, and yeah, he's doing a great job of that.
Obviously, this is a pretty special locker room, a pretty close-knit group of guys. Is there anybody in particular, perhaps a fellow countryman who maybe is having a breakout season in particular? Anybody that you feel particularly proud as a leader and a captain to see their development this year?
Yeah, I think Kevin Fiala definitely came a long way. I mean, he's such a talented player, and you can see it.
They're clapping for Kevin. They should
nice get, Kev.
Right, yeah. Not his gingerbread house, just
not
for his goal scoring.
He's got a lot
those
of work
skills
to do.
Are not
yeah.
there.
But he's been great for us all year. He has so much talent, and I think he's so much fun to watch.
The way he attacks and the way he shoots.
Yeah, and he's definitely had a breakout season for us, and it's been huge for us all year.
Just sort of along those lines, the injection Kyle Turris gave this team when he came into the locker room and slid right into that second line center spot, and all of a sudden that line's exploding. Is it as simple as it just worked? It just fit personality, skill, scheme, all that stuff? Was it as instant as it looked to the fans when it happened?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they played unbelievable right away, and I think those three guys just complement each other pretty well. They all have a lot of speed, a lot of skilled players, and they played really well when they got together, and they still are playing really well. And he's been a huge addition to our team. He's a great guy, and he's a great leader in the locker room too, and obviously a great player, and he's giving us even more depth.
Speaking of playing well together, you and Ellie, Ryan Ellis, are just lights out. Like, what's it like playing with him? I feel like he's as offensive as he is. It's more just getting point shots. He's got a bomb, and you just—he lets you go. He lets you do your thing.
I think he's one of the smartest guys on the ice. He's his hockey sense is unbelievable, and I love playing with him. It's so much fun, and I think when we started playing together, we started building that chemistry, and there's just little things like when he has the puck, I know what he's going to do, or he knows what I'm going to do with the puck, and it's so much fun playing with him. We really have a great chemistry, and like I said, he's an unbelievable player, and he's got great hockey sense. I can't remember any mistakes he makes. He doesn't make any mistakes.
No.
Like, he's always in the right spot. He always does the right things.
I'm not going to ask you to pick between your children. Which one do you like playing with the most? Obviously, you and Ellis play a lot together. But sort of maybe describe the differences. When you're out there with PK, or you're out there with Ekholm, or you're out there with Ellis, give us the differences. How does your game change when you're with each of those different guys?
I don't think your own game really changes. I haven't played with PK that much. We only played like 4 or 5 games last year. I played with Ekki this year, early in the year, and... yeah, it was a lot of fun playing with Ekki too. They're all such good defensemen, and it makes it so easy for you to play with them.
I have to add on that, because I thought it was funny. So I played with Joost right when I got in, and I was like, this is kind of, I didn't really know much about him. I just gave him the puck and let him do his thing, and it was kind of fun. And then I ended up playing with Ryan Ellis after that, and I thought it was the same thing. I thought he'd just go. And I give him the puck, and he'd give it back to me. I was like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Like, you're supposed to take it and go. And I was so amazed how, you know, usually young defensemen, when they come in the league, you know, they fall out of position, and I'd have to cover them up, and Joost would be going up in the rush, and I'd be like, I got you, guy. You know, go ahead, do your thing. And I'd stay back. With Ryan Ellis, like, right away, he was just rock solid defensively. So I think that's... With Ekki, I feel like it's the same thing. Ekholm you know, he gets up the ice a little bit more, but other than that, it's been a lot of fun for me as a defenseman who never could do what these guys do to watch this team play. And I feel like you're part of the offense way more than any other team. You know, you're always up there. I don't see any other team doing that.
Yeah, I mean...
That's Laviolette, though. He wants
He wants us to, he wants us to jump up and join the rush. And I think a huge part is our forwards, too. They, in the O-zone, they always give it up to us to the point. And, they make sure we get a lot of pucks, and we try to get it to the net. And it's a huge part of our system. He wants us to join the rush. And I think it's a huge part for us, too. Every time the team doesn't do well, we take a lot of responsibility and we try to get up more, get more involved in the play and jump up.
I feel like a physics professor or university should study Ryan Ellis's slap shot. Like, I feel like I don't know how he gets that much torque on the shot. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's such a small package, and it's just gone. I mean, it's a missile.
Smooth.
Yeah, yeah, we call
very
it,
quick.
Yeah, we call it a silencer because there's no sound when he takes slap shots in the
like
skate. Everybody is like, bah, and it's just smooth, and it's hard.
Well, Roman, we really appreciate you coming out tonight, man. We really do. Obviously, best of luck the last month and a half of the season. I know it's retirement month, but the light at the end of the tunnel is here. Smashville Live, thank you guys so much for showing up as well. You guys are amazing. The best fans in the NHL, no question about it. For Chaz from Promotions, my name's Braden Gall. Hal Gill, the captain, Roman Josi, everybody. This has been Smashville Live from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. Until next time, keep listening to ESPN 102.5, everybody.
Cheers.